Hi, and welcome to our next session. We have Brandon Liu, who is going to talk about Minutely extracts. So tools for nimble editing and downloading of the edits that go into OpenStreetMap and getting fresh data quickly. And specifically, he's going to talk about OSM Express, which is a new spatially indexed file format.
Hello, State of the Map. I'm here to talk about Minutely extracts and tools for nimble editing and downloading. So to put this project in context, I'm going to present a small poll I made to ask map makers who use OpenStreetMap what scale they usually work on. And about half of mappers work on the scale of a city or less. So that brings us to sort of a fundamental task within using OSM, which is to download a manageable slice of OSM. Because really, OSM is the planner file. It's updated once a week. So inevitably, in order to use OSM, you have to go to a download site. Here's one example that was running for many years called Metro Extracts. In this case, it had about 200 or 300 different cities that were sliced once a week in two different formats. But all of these download sites have some caveats. Specifically, they vary in how often they're updated. Maybe one that is quite frequent might update once a day. But then there's also the issue of if you're interested in one particular, like in one specific area, that might not exist on the download site. That, or you might only be interested in some subset of an area, in which case it might be a lot of work to just extract the one area you want from that pre-processed data. So I'm going to talk about a brand new web service that I've been running called Minutely Extracts. The URL is here. It's all public already, protomaps.com/extracts. And it's a free web service for downloading fresh parts of the OSM database on demand. So here's a quick demo of how this interface works. On the main page, there's a sort of interactive map. You can zoom in on one area you're interested in. Let's say I only want the island of Manhattan, which is just right here. Now, what you might be inclined to do is just draw a bounding box over the entire thing. And it does support this, but really if you do this, it's kind of wasteful because you're bringing in all these nodes in ways that are outside Manhattan on the corners here. So it is a bit more efficient just to draw a polygon around only the area we're interested in. And the idea here is that this should be very fast. I can name it Manhattan, and I can hit create. And it shows you some progress bars, and it's it should be done very quickly. Now, it does support up to 100 million nodes. So if you imagine grabbing like a large slice of the East Coast of the US, that's about 100 million nodes. It might take like 20 minutes to generate, but you can do it all at once. The other nice thing is that if you're actively editing the map in this area, you can download it once, you can make your changes in ID or JOSM, and then you can just hit refresh on this existing area. And it will have incorporated all the changes in those minutes that have gone by, and you'll be able to download a fresh file that has all those updates. So really, this is meant to really close the feedback loop between editing and downloading, so that you're able to take advantage of things you make in OSM immediately. So for some more background on this Minutely Extract service, I launched it last year at State of the Map US in September. And one feature I added last month is OSM metadata. There's now version numbers for all objects, which might make it good enough for uploads and editing. And there's also timestamp change that UID username, all the other fields stored in the database for everything except for untagged nodes. If you've worked with raw PBFs before, you'd know that these untagged nodes are the bulk of the storage space. So this is sort of a space-saving optimization. Some of these fields, like the username, are not exposed yet on the Minutely Extract site because of GDPR. I'm working on maybe a system to have a login in terms of use in order to make that compliant. in order to integrate these PBF files into your workflow, so you can use something like QGIS, which can now open these PBF files directly. It depends on the OSM Google driver. But here's an example of that Manhattan file opened in QGIS. It's just kind of your standard GIS vector editor. Something else that's new is a tool I worked on that's called OSM Export Tool Python. It was funded by HOT last year, and it lets you transform a PBF file into a tabular format, such as shapefile or geopackage, or even something like Garmin IMG. And it uses a YAML definition file that maps certain OSM tags to columns. So to compare this Manila extract service to other services, such as the OSM API, well, Manila extracts can support up to 100 million nodes. So if you've ever tried to extract something that large from the OSM API or even Overpass, you might hit some timeouts. So there is sort of a goal of being able to export very large areas from this. And it does support, I think, 4 people using the extract service at a time. So you might have to wait in line if it gets really popular. In terms of the completeness of the extracts, they are multi-polygon complete, which means that Waze are reference complete, and any relation that has type multi-polygon is going to be reference complete. But for example, a boundary relation is not going to be complete, because if you wanted a small area that touches an admin boundary, you could potentially pull in, you know, like a lot more data. So this is sort of, it works the same way that Osmium does. Like another caveat is that areas are not precise in Minutely extracts. I'll go more into that in the second part of this talk about why that is, but essentially, for any area, the actual things that are returned are going to be some covering or like a small expansion of the area that you give it. So here's the second part of the talk, and that's about the storage backend that powers Minutely extracts. It's a new format called OSM Express. It's totally open source and on GitHub. I'm also working on a documentation page, which you can find here. And there's a talk I made about it for State of the Map US last year. I'm going to give a quick demo in the terminal about how it works. So I have a couple of files here. So this one at the top is an extract of Washington, D.C. that I downloaded from GeoFabric. So with the expand command, I'm able to convert that to an OSMX file. So that takes, for a small size city, this can take anywhere from 20 to 30 seconds. And what it's doing now is it's turning all of the nodes, ways, relations into a disk format and also creating all these indexes. Now I can do things like query this database file. It shows me how many of each kind of thing there are, as well as query by node ID. That gives me the location and the tags for that node. I can also create another extract from this database file with the extract command. So in this case, I need to give it an output file name and also a region I'm interested in. So I have a GeoJSON of the National Mall in DC that is just a polygon. So I can use OSMX extract DC output.osm.pbf and give it a region, which is a National Mall. So that takes a very short amount of time. And all the Minutely extract server is doing is calling that command. Finally, so I'm able to apply a diff to the database with the update command. So in this case, I have a couple of OSC files. I can do an OSMX query, and it will show me the sequence number. So because it's on 2647, I want to update it to 2648. So I can do something like OSMX update DC with 2648, and I need to give it a timestamp, which is like 2020.06. 17. That's just a number I made up. If you're using this thing for real in production, you would get these from the state.txt file. And I didn't commit that, but you can see that it applied that diff to the database quite quickly. So if you're curious about how the indexing works, it's all done by S2 cells. If you see here, for a small area like a park in a city, it covers it with a given number of cells. The smallest cell is at that cell level 16. If it's a really large area, it will approximate that with much larger cells. So this is how it's able to do spatial indexing without a lot of expensive point and polygon tests. Really brief one-page overview of other details, implemented in C++. It uses a bunch of popular libraries. The entire database is one file. There's no background processes like in Postgres. It's a lot more like SQLite. You can have one writer and multiple reader processes accessing it at the same time. It's a BSD2 clause license, so if you want to statically link this into your commercial projects that are not open source, that's fine. And for the planet file, converting planet.osm to PBF to planet.osmx takes about 7 hours and is about a 10x expansion in storage size, and generally needs somewhere between 16 and 30 gigabytes of RAM. So in addition to adding object metadata, I've also added a more full-featured Python library to be able to access an OSMX database from Python. I'm going to open the browser here and take a look at three example programs using the Python bindings. They're in this Python and then examples directory. For the first program, it's just called ReadWay. It's probably the simplest non-trivial example of a program you can write with the Python bindings. So I'm going to open up the terminal here, and I have the dc.osmx I created previously, and I can take a look at this program, which is in the examples directory. It's very short. It's very short. It just opens the database here and then runs some queries over it. So for example, how to use that, I would just call Python examples readway.py and give it an ID. Yep, so you can see here for this way ID, it has these node locations, these tags, it's like the Lincoln Memorial, as well as the metadata, and also all the relations that that way belongs to. So the second more advanced program I'm going to show is called Web Server. It's a web server that returns the GeoJSON for a given OSM object ID. So this is something that you would run as a process. Let's see if I can open this up. So just like before, I'm going to run webserver.py with the OSMX file that will listen on a certain port. And if I go back to my browser, and I go to localhost/way and then give it the way ID, I can see the GeoJSON there. So I can even take this GeoJSON and visualize it on a site like GeoJSON.io. So that's almost like you could recreate the OpenStreetMap API on osm.org/way/ID. You could create a nice UI like that just using this web server. It only uses the Python standard library, probably not production ready. It might have some performance or security issues, but it's a good starting point if you wanted to build something more advanced. Finally, the third program is much more complicated. It's called Augmented Diff. So an Augmented Diff is kind of like an OSC change file, but it is reference complete. So if there's ways in the change file, it also includes all the node location information, and it also shows you if a node location changed, it affects the ways that that node belongs to. So the idea here is that I can implement augmented diffs just using an OSC file and as well as that OSMX database. The semantics here are slightly different than how Overpass works, since Overpass uses timestamps and not the replication sequence IDs. All that documentation is on the OSM wiki on this page. You can also read my issue about it in the OSMX GitHub issues tracker. But to give you an idea of how this works, I'm going to go back to the terminal. And run this augmented diff program. So you can see I would take in a OSMX database as well as an OSC file. In order to know which sequence number I'm at, I can do an OSMX query on that. So I need to apply sequence 2648. So before I apply the diff, I can run this augmented diff Python program on 2648, and then let's output it to diff.xml. So now I have a diff.xml that shows me all the actions like modify, create, or delete. I can even go into my browser and use Achavi, which visualizes augmented diffs, and then drag and drop my output onto here. And it shows me all of the things that happened in that daily diff. So I can click on away in more detail and see more information like that. I'm going to talk about some of the next steps for both Mimikry Extracts and OSM Express. So the library itself is fairly feature complete as it is. I want to keep it quite minimal, and I intend for it to be more of a building block for other programs. So performance and operational simplicity are the overarching goals. Some of the things I want to add are support for more languages, especially spatial support to Python that would require bringing in the S2 library. Other languages I'm thinking about are especially Go, Java, and Rust. The build process can be improved. Right now, there is a hard dependency on OpenSSL that would need to be patched in S2 upstream. And I do intend to keep the Mimikry Extracts as a free service offered by Protomaps, my new company, to improve the mapping experience for both people that are editing the map and map users. I am supporting this through some commercial offerings. You should go to protomaps.com and check those out. Also, if you need integration with OSM Express or you want to sponsor features, please contact me at brandon@protomaps.com. Thanks.
Thank you, Brandon. There was a lot of information in those 20 minutes there. So we have some questions from the audience. First question, what do you think are the advantages of Overpass over OSM Express? And you talked a little bit about the differences between the two, but what are the advantages of one over the other?
Right. So Overpass is something that I use a lot. It is a much more full-featured application. It has sort of like a server process that you run. So like if you wanted to build like a pretty simple program that only needs to query it, like you don't want to have to run an entire like set of server processes to run Overpass. So my focus was more on building something that is like a really low-level building block and is sort of like more maintainable and easier to operationalize. If you're building a production service, you might want to just use something that's like very minimal and doesn't have all the nice features of Overpass. Since with Overpass, you can do a lot of things. You can query by time, you can query by area. But all those great features kind of make it like a lot more more unwieldy to operationalize.
Somebody asked, is there a difference compared to the download function of JOSM?
There should be some slight differences. So the download function of JOSM will hit the OSM API. So that's like like /0.6/API/map. And that only supports pretty limited numbers of data. Like I'd be surprised if you could get more than like a couple hundred megabytes from the JOSM download function. So if you wanted to get a much larger chunk of data, you could use Minerva extracts, or you could use this extract service. But in theory, the PBF you get should be completely usable as if you were downloading from another download site like GeoFabric. There is that small caveat that for untagged nodes, I don't store metadata. So if you, it's not 100% complete. That's more of a compromise that I made in that design. But for most use cases, it should be more than enough.
So there's several questions that people have asked ahead of time and that Brandon has answered in the Hackpad itself. I'm not going to read them out loud, but there is one question here that was apparently answered on Twitter, so I'm going to go ahead and ask it so the audience gets the benefit of that question, which is, can you share the graph simplification tricks?
I think that's related to something else that I posted on Twitter. That's actually not part of OSM Express, but it is related in that if you have access to raw OSM geometries instead of a spatial feature in Postgres, you can act on those features as a graph instead of just as line strings. So you can do some clever things related to things like cartography of road networks if you're acting on OSM data itself and not like an OGC simple features like line string. But that's like pretty tangential, pretty not related to that talk. Yeah.
So I think during the talk you mentioned, I think this was from Minutely Express, that you could have like four queries going on at once, and so there might be a line. How much use are you seeing? Is this is there something that's going to get overloaded?
Not right now. Maybe I'm underestimating the amount of people that want to download raw OSM data. I feel like that's like pretty niche, and I'd be surprised if it was like overloaded. But I think in general, like I'd encourage people to use it because I do feel like the benefit is that you can take advantage of things you upload immediately to OSM. Because to me, like one of the central issues that like is a challenge for OSM is sort of being alienated from the things you're adding to the data set. It's like you can like, there's this value prop of OSM that you can edit the data. Like so anyone can edit the data. But once you add it in and you have to wait like a day before it shows up on some download extract site, that's like kind of dampens the mood. So I'd really encourage people to use it more. That's kind of why I wanted to make it really fast. So if you're just working on some little neighborhood or even like a small size city, it should be done within like a couple of seconds.
Well, we'll see how popular this talk ends up. you may end up getting more use than you anticipated.
Cool.
So you suggested, so somebody asked what use cases you thought might benefit from Minutely extracts in OSM. And you mentioned maybe live updated statistics or vandalism. What I was wondering was, can you go into a little more detail about how someone would what is the benefit of using Minutely extracts and OSMX versus, I think, just getting the minute change sets?
So from my understanding, the minute change sets aren't used that much for analytics or like vandalism detection, that kind of thing. Most applications use augmented diffs. And augmented devs like are kind of an open specification that's published on the wiki. But from my understanding, the only implementation is inside Overpass. So you still kind of have this like this dependency on probably a public Overpass server if you wanted to build a system. Like you're kind of relying on Overpass to provide the data. So what I'm really trying to do is like trying to like diversify the tooling around these change sets. So that if you wanted to build, for example, another change set analyzer, you could do that in a very self-contained way. And you could even do that in a way that is totally offline. So if you had a server that was like off the grid and you could only consume change sets from planet.osm.org, you know, like once a week, you could still operate on that OSM data and do interesting things because you essentially have like a mirror of that data losslessly. So I think in general, it's not as much that I'm adding features to these diffs. It's more that I'm providing a new and more sort of low-level building block way of creating them.
And then I think you mentioned in your last slide your sort of roadmap for the projects. What do you think? Do you think you'll have an update for State of the Map US, or what's the timeline?
In terms of updates, the thing I want to do the most is add support for more languages, because like, so OSM is like really diverse in terms of the developers working on it. You know, there's like people that use things like .NET or Ruby. And I think one of the most impactful things to do yet is to support more languages, so that even if you're not, you know, like a like C++ programmer or Python programmer, you can take advantage of using the data format. And that's really going to be driven by the demand of developers. So I invite basically all devs to go onto the GitHub and post issues on what you want, because I'm hoping this will be like a project that's managed by the community. So I don't have any concrete steps on what I want to accomplish in the next months or the next year. It's more like if people have a specific problem they're trying to solve or like a language they're using, I'd be more interested in helping them do that.
So everybody get on GitHub and post your issues. Actually, Brandon, if you could post into the Hackpad the GitHub repo, the link to the GitHub repo, so everyone has the benefit of that.
Yep. Gotta reconnect.
And is all your documentation in the GitHub repo, or do you have a website?
There is a documentation website that's more long form. It is at protomaps.com/docs, D-O-C-S. But there is a link to that in the GitHub. So the link, the README on GitHub has links to most of the other resources. All right. So the GitHub link is now in the Hackpad.
Great. So I think anybody who wants to explore further, is Minutely, I know you talked about a couple of different things. You talked about the index and you talked about Minutely Express. Are those different links or is that all in one place?
They should all be in the same place. Right now I've focused everything like into that one GitHub repo. It's possible that there might be more in the future, but I'll be using the GitHub README at the central place.
Right. Uh, Well, I think that that is it for the questions that were not answered ahead of time. Any closing thoughts?
I'll address one question I saw multiple people have, which is supporting extracts by region. That is something that I'm working on. It's a bit challenging because if any of you have worked with admin boundaries in OSM before, you know they are a nightmare, especially once you get into super relations. Like if you wanted to get the entire United States as one relation that has like tens of thousands of nodes. So that's the main challenge in making that work. But that is something that I want to support on the site, which is being able to extract, for example, just your city or even just your neighborhood, as long as there is an OSM relation for that place. That is one feature that I am actively working on.
All right, great. Thank you, Brandon. Everyone go check out the tools. You.